Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It is April 1st, 2024, April Fool's Day, but we're, you know, actually some of these I feel like would be kind of a joke if you told people we're doing bold predictions for the 2024 outdoor season on this episode of This Week in Track and Field. I'm Chris Chavez.
I'm Anderson Emerald.
And we are going to go out on a limb here. Last year, we did bold predictions, me, Kyle, and Mac. They submitted some via text to me this morning. Yeah. I didn't get a response from Mac because it's very early out on the West Coast. But I went back and kind of like listened to a few of mine. I really didn't have – this is the problem with me. It's just coming from like a news background. I'm more of a straight facts kind of guy. I'm less of like giving the hot take. And so mine were kind of bland. It was like Shakari Richardson and Matt Centrowitz are going to make like the U.S. team for Budapest. I got half of that right. And then Shakari goes on to win the world championships. I don't know if I went that far. I have to go back and see and maybe replay exactly what I said, but not that shabby of a pick. And then, you know, there were probably a couple others, but all right, we figured we would do five each across all of the different disciplines.
Yeah,
with it being an Olympic year, so many of these are going to be focused on medals in Paris and, you know, finishes in Paris. But at the same time, like, you know, the nature of the sport nowadays is that records are falling left and right, so a couple of them might have to do with records, and then some others maybe just kind of bigger picture industry wise. So Anderson, lead us off. What is kind of your first bold prediction for 2024?
All right. So my first bold prediction, everyone has been talking about records. I literally just came from Jamaica where Usain Bolt had a conversation about records, but men's 100 meter dash, I am saying that the men's 100 meter dash American record is going to get taken down this year. Now, I feel like this is pretty bold, as people have, I feel like last year, a lot of people were like, oh, the 100 meters is kind of slow, but I think everyone's going to turn up this year. So for context, the American record, Tyson Gay ran 9.69 seconds all the way back in 2009. And so we're coming up on a long time, right? It's been a long time, almost 15 years, basically, since that record has gone down. But right now we have a good crop of guys who are like in the conversation. So of course, Noah Lyles at the top, you know, he is at least the defending champion. He's only run 9.83 seconds as his PB, but we've seen him improve in the 60 meters. You know, I spoke to Lance Brahman in Glasgow and he was like, listen, if Noah's doing this at 60, he can run like 9.7, 9.6. So there's that. And then you have a whole bunch of guys who have actually run 9.7s between Fred Curley, Trayvon Bromell, and Christian Coleman. They've all run 9.76 seconds. And I feel like everyone is going to turn up in the Olympic year. You have a bunch of storylines. You have a bunch of guys who really want to get the gold medal. So again, I think the American record is going to go down. Not saying it's going to go down at the Olympics, but I think it's going to go down this year.
I like that. And I think like very early on, we're already seeing sort of that there isn't, you know, kind of this hesitancy between these top stars to go head to head. Like it kicks off in April that we've seen a couple of Diamond League announcements from the early season meets in China, which will be, I think, on April 20th and then the 27th. And we've got Fred Curley versus Christian Coleman right off the bat twice. I think it's very early to try and make, you know, sort of big takeaways from those performances. You got to get, you know, the rust off here or there. And so I like this prediction. I think it's going to happen at like not the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Like it just so. But then again, like I always go back to the thought, like, don't they constantly like change the track for like, and whatever the newest track surface is at the Olympics. And so that was a big deal about Tokyo in 2021. So the fact that athletes are ready to peak at that time, but then again, you know how the sprinters always say, like, it's the competition that drives like the fastest out of each other. You can make the case, right, that like the Olympic final guys may not be as strong as like the U.S. Olympic trials field, right?
Exactly.
So like seeing it potentially happen at Hayward Field wouldn't be the craziest thought.
Yeah. And even, yeah, you have, like I just said, Coleman, Lyles, you know, Curley, as well as Bromell, just those four, right?
Right.
We only have three guys go to the Olympics. So they line up at Olympic trials. That's going to bring up the competition. And then even going back to Tyson and his American record. So he ran that 9.69 in Shanghai. I think this was before the Diamond League. So it was a one-off race. And he actually broke the American record before that. Maurice Greene had the American record. And Tyson Gay ran the American record in 2008 at the Olympic trials. So going to your point where it doesn't necessarily have to be the Olympic Games. Like, everyone isn't a Usain Bolt and you get to the final and like, that's a thing. So yeah, I think either at Olympic trials, maybe at like a one-off Diamond League afterwards. But I think this year is going to be the year.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. All right, so
what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, the sport is crazy. No one last year would have picked Krevon Charlson to be like the U.S. 100 meter champion. No one saw a woman, Tigges Assefa, running 2:11 for the marathon and that world record being broken. Granted, I guess like it hasn't been ratified yet. Like, I don't know what
That's
the deal
true.
Is with that.
I don't know what World Athletics does with these ratifications.
A little interesting there, but we'll have to just kind of wait and see like why that's what's the holdup with that one, because you know, you'd think, right? Like, it was set in Berlin, like all the procedures are there.
Everything
where
good,
it's like
yeah.
That course is measured. So I don't know what the hangup is. We're going to have to wait and see, you know, what happens with that one. But as of right now, like, it hasn't been officially ratified by World Athletics. All right. I'm going to stray away from that one for a bit. I'm going to go. My first one is, I'll stay on kind of the Olympics here for a sec. Over under, I'm setting at 30 medals for the United States at the Olympics, and I'm going to take the over. We had 26 in Tokyo, 32 in Rio, 28 in London. And I just, you know, if you think about it, 30 is a sweet spot for that. It's a nice round number. I think we go over because if we look at the total from Tokyo, one, the athletes have said it just sort of like atmosphere wise, like it wasn't great. The empty stands, you know, the athletes do feed off of the crowds and the atmosphere that I think like some athlete performances did suffer from that. And so 26, I don't think is 100% fair here. You think about just some little tiny things from that total. It's just like Sam Kendricks, like, had to pull out of the Olympics because he tested positive for COVID. So there's one medal. And you could just like kind of pinpoint here spots here and there. We did have 29 at the World Championships last year in Budapest. So I think just because of the heightened Olympics, you know, nature in the sport, that we'll go 31 on the medals. So
I don't think it's
necessarily a big bold prediction here. It's just more sort of like, all right, let's set an over under and I'm going to go over. Maybe the bolder pick would have been to go under because it would say what our team isn't as good and maybe the rest of the world is getting better. You could make a case for that, but I guess, you know, the Patriot in me will say over 30 medals at the Paris Olympics is my prediction. What do you think of that total?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it would have been super bold if you said like 35 medals or something crazy. But
maybe I should have done that. Yeah.
But I mean, it makes sense, right? Because like you said, Sam Kendricks last time he had to pull out. You have like Shakira Richardson, she didn't compete. Someone like Ariane Nyton, I think he got fourth place last time, but he's of course much better in the 200. So there's a couple people who are in the mix, but I think it's pretty good because, you know, a lot of other athletes from all around the world, they're of course going to be vying for spots. They're going to be, you know, trying to put, you know, keep America off the podium. So I think going over 30 is a pretty good, you know, bold take for the most part.
So one thing I didn't write down, but now that you've kind of got my wheels turning a little bit from your first bold prediction, and now you bring up his name specifically, Ariane Nyton.
Yeah.
Like, nothing officially has been said about just like if he's just going to go for the 200 this year, right? Like, you haven't seen anything?
That's a good point. I don't know.
I was really impressed with his relay leg, which we'll talk about at the end of the show as we kind of round up a lot of the results. But like Arian Knight, not crazy to think he could potentially make this 100 team, right? Like,
yeah.
Or throw him into that mix, right? Of these top people where, you know, this will be his second year, you know, training under Mike Holloway. And usually that's when we start to see the benefits of someone being in a pro system for over a year. And so I think of what Noah did last year in 2020 2023 with the, you know, focus on the one and the two, and just like the buildup that he had with the 60 indoors. We have no idea what Arian's been doing like in the wintertime because he didn't run indoors. And I think of him very similarly in this same category as Gabby Thomas, who also had like a really strong show in this past weekend, where it's like, oh, I think we're starting to see more athletes who can play in the 200 and the 100, but dropping down from the longer side to the, I mean, Fred is the case in point, best example of it with the 400 dropping all the way down to the 100. But I guess like a crazy bold prediction that just like kind of flew into my head would be like, put Arian Knighton on the 100 meter team. But I, again, like there's nothing to say that he's even going to try and do that, right? Like
that's true.
He seems like he's been the last 3 years all in on the 200.
But the
100 would be really, we just haven't seen like his true potential in the 100 yet.
Yeah, at all. I think that actually would be a pretty bold prediction because just thinking of all the guys right now in the 100 meter dash, it's hard to see someone like Arian Knighton who hasn't shown like kind of that 100 meter potential that he has. It's hard to like pick him and put him on the team, but I wouldn't be surprised if he dropped like a 9.8 or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Like it's team, right. Like
the way his
19.49. Like you know. So and I think he might have run a slightly windy sub 10, but I mean, dude, he's still, what is he, turning 21 this year? Like he could go crazy. So I think that's actually, that is a bold but also possible prediction because I don't think anyone would pick Arian Knighton if he like entered at Olympic trials for the 100. I don't think anyone would pick him for the team in the 100, but it's possible.
He just turned 20 in January. His PR on paper is 10.04 because like, I guess, yeah, to your point, like he's only gone sub 10 wind aided. So like, I kind of like that one. I've been team Arian since we went and paid a visit to him in Tampa. So you know what? I need to, you know, put a reach out to Mike Holloway and see if there's a plan for a double here. But if there is, then I'm putting Arian Knighton on the U.S. 100 meter team. It's a mistake. I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves because I wanted to save this for the end. But he looked great on that relay that you should put him on the 4x1. And that's already a crowded picture. Kind of like you said, you rattled off four names before that will be in the U.S. Olympic Trials 100. And that could be your Team USA
relay team.
And yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy. But all right, I'm going to go with that because I was on the fence of like saying something like Gabby Thomas makes the U.S. team in the 100 and the 200. I think Arian making the 100 team is more likely.
Yeah, yeah. Because Gabby actually at the last Olympic trials, I think she actually finished
fifth or
sixth or in the 100. So that wouldn't be as bold. I think Arian Knighton is that perfect case where it's like he hasn't run sub 10 yet. We know he has a potential from his 200, but like if he makes a team in the 100, it would be like, whoa. Like you even said, Kevon Charleston, he won USA's last year. I didn't even mention him in my, you know, American records, right? So I don't know.
All right. I'm gonna lean in. That just hit me in the moment. I'm going Arian Knighton makes the U.S. 100 meter team. Will I go as far as saying he's going to medal at the Olympics? Ooh. Not yet.
Yeah.
All right. Bold. Hit me with your second bold prediction.
All right. So I'm going to go up to the mid distances here, and I'm going to talk about the women's 1500 meters. So Faith Kipyegon, basically the GOAT of the 1500. You have Stefan Hassan, who's literally doing, I don't even know what she's going to do. Will she do the 15 in the marathon? Will she do like 10? Who knows? But, and then of course you have Gurav Tsagay. Also, who knows what she's going to do in terms of like the 15 up to 10K. But my prediction is none of those three are going to win the 1500 in Paris this year at the Olympic Games.
Who?
So you have a couple women. You have Laura Muir. Laura Muir has been like a mainstay in the event for who knows how long.
Over a decade and now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's still like in the conversation. She's always in the mix. She's run, I think 354 is her personal best in the 15. So she's gotten, you know, multiple medals across the board. So she's in there. She's won. We just saw Ellie St. Pierre. She, like, of course, her personal best is not as fast in the 15 yet, but she's just coming back from, you know, starting a family. She beat Gudov Sagai indoors, which I think is a huge confidence boost, you know, of her coming back. You have a couple other Ethiopians, right? Jerebe Wateji, she's drawn 353. So I think there's a few women who are in the mix. Now, this is like, in all honesty, you'd have to like, Faith is like the woman, but I think that someone is going to step up. I really, really think that Laura is tired of like not winning gold. Ellie is like on a roll. I think someone is going to take one of them down for the gold.
I like this bold pick because it's so bold. It's so bold. Because the way the women's 1500 has been run at the last couple of world championships has just kind of been like, all right, we're going to turn this into, you know, a sub 354 race. And there's only three women who can do that. And I think maybe to your point that, this year, maybe the group is not three women and it's like five women.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, let's think about it. Faith Kipyegon is sub 350. Like, for her, 352 feels comfortable.
It's crazy, but
it is a crazy one. I don't agree with it because I just see Faith Kipyegon winning.
I mean, yes, in theory, but we got to go bold. And like, seeing Ellie run down Gudov indoors, I know it's indoors, it's completely different. It wasn't the 15, but I think that's a huge jump start into what's going to happen outdoors. And Ellie, she didn't do well in, I think, Eugene 2022. She didn't do as well as she wanted. The Olympics in 2021, of course, she didn't get onto the podium. But I think between Ellie and Laura, and then you have, you know, a couple other women as well, but I think someone is going to take down Faith. Now, everyone is going to have to step up and get into like, you know, 352 range and start dropping things. But I don't know. I think it might happen. And I think like Safan is going to be, I'm imagining she's going to be too much onto like the marathon training or whatever. And she's not going to be able to like do what she wants. I don't know.
Yeah. Cause that's another question mark in the whole thing is like, what events is Safan Hassan going to end up running? Yeah. And I had kind of, this isn't a bold prediction because it's obvious that she's going to pick a weird double or triple again. The safer bet would be you triple in the 15, 5K, 10K. You run back what you did in Tokyo. And I think maybe there's a chance of that because the Tokyo marathon that she just ran was the first blemish on her marathon record.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do the 10K marathon double because I think double. They're like on the same, they're like a day apart or something.
A day
like
apart
that.
And it would be crazy. Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, like Safan
is
crazy.
Safan though. Yeah.
I think likely you could see 15 marathon, maybe throw in the 5K in there, which again, bananas. So it's a lot of running. It could hurt her chances at one of the shorter distances. I think like it'll be fine if she ends up running, you know, the marathon. My thinking with the marathon in Paris is that it's Hellen Obiri's race to lose. Like she's just like so good on, you know, with her cross country background, with her experience in Boston and New York, that the Paris course with its 13 grade hill, like is going to be fine for her. And I don't know if we've seen, you know, Safan Hassan kind of thrive in that in a marathon setting. So like maybe that's where her hesitancy would be like, you know what, my best chances at three medals will end up being back on the track. So
yeah I don't know, that it'll be interesting. I think like she's definitely going to do something crazy. I think 15, you kind of convinced me that 15 marathon is probably likely for Safan, and that's like absolutely insane. Now if she wins either or, who knows, but
we're both crazy.
We're both like, who knows, but hey, but that's my pick. So I don't know, what do you got up next?
So I'm gonna stay on the 1500, but we'll go on the men's side. And you know, here's one where I'm like, you know how in the NBA or in the NFL, you have analysts go on like the Bill Simmons podcast or any of these other shows, and they say something that is a take, but you have tons of media outlets that go and take it and run with it as news, where it's sort of like Brian Windhorst says, you know, that Kyrie Irving isn't I don't know, like not his best anymore, whatever it is. And it makes headlines everywhere. This is where I'm thinking that if I don't choose my words carefully, and this would be a good sign for track, right? That it would just kind of perforate, you know, it just breaks through into, you know, other news places. But if Let's I say see. Jakob Ingebrigtsen will not medal in the 1500 at the Olympics, is this red meat for the Norwegian press to take that quote and then run and make a couple headlines out of it? And then there's going to be a subsequent article, you know, with asking Jakob Ingebrigtsen, what did you think of this American podcaster saying that you're not going to medal in the 1500? Like, this is, I'm kind of just like seeing the train of events that could happen from this. But if my bold prediction, and I'm going to keep the word if in there so that they don't take this, if my bold prediction is that Jakob does not medal in the 1500 at the Olympics, then I see all that happening. Now, the qualifier in all of this is that I recognize that he's this amazing talent and he's likely going to try and take down the 1500 meter world record in the, I would say, regular season in the Diamond League, potentially like Monaco or something like that. If he's not healthy, then there are, or he, if he's not 100%, maybe Jakob can get away with like meddling at 90%. Anything less than that, I think that there's, you know, a slew of guys, maybe four or five, including Josh Kerr, Yard Nagus, Nordis.
Yeah.
I would throw George Mills in there. I was very impressed with his indoor season. Like, there are these guys who at 100% health can finish ahead of him in the 1500 at the Olympics. If I question if Jakob is rushing back too soon from this injury, I don't, the severity didn't seem anything that crazy. He's in training camp in Flagstaff already, but he's got plans to race potentially the Oslo Diamond League. He's definitely doing the pre-classic.
Prefontaine.
And then go to in June and race the European Championships. He's expecting a baby in, you know, right before the Olympics.
He's got a crazy schedule.
It's a crazy schedule that, like, I don't know, man. Like, I would just, you know, kind of put all your chips into the Olympics. Don't show your hand in the lead up to it. But if his big flaw has been, you know, racing, you know, without a pacemaker, and then he maybe is looking to get a couple of those reps in beforehand. So my bold prediction is Jakob does not medal in the 1500 at the Olympics. Will he go on to win the 5K? Potentially. But the 1500, this is the one that's going to make get me in trouble with the Norwegian press.
That is, it's bold because it's like, it's not that he won't win gold again. It's not that he won't, you know, get bronze or silver. It's like he won't medal. And I mean, right now you have, like, you have, like you said, there's tons of guys. I mean, you can argue maybe that the big three is like Jakob, you know, Josh Kerr, Yard Nagus, and but there's a lot of guys in there, and it's hard. But it is realistic where you can see Jakob not meddling, but then going on to win gold in the 5K, right? But man, I don't know. That is a pretty bold take that I think everyone is going to kind of like jump on, take it, coach you and go crazy with it. And it's crazy. You didn't even mention like Timothy Chariot, right? I know he's kind of like, you know,
good point here.
He hasn't done well, but like he could come out of nowhere and win, you know, the gold medal or win, you know, at least get on the podium and keep Jakob off. So it's a bold, bold take for sure. And I'm interested to see like the first time that you get in the mix zone and interview Jakob, like if you're going to go out on a limb and like, you know, give him your take.
Oh yeah, no, I think like that's another fear, right? Like it's just sort of like, oh, he's going to recognize the, you know, the American podcaster who said he's not going to meddle. So that's why you're going to do those interviews at pre-classic, not me. All right. So what's your next one?
All right. So next one, I'm going to go away from like events specific and I'm going to go into, there's, you know, a new thing that's happening in Paris. So we have these repassage rounds at the Paris Olympics that they're introducing. I don't know what's going on. World Athletics, whatever. They're changing all these kinds of things, but essentially repassage rounds are any athlete who doesn't qualify from the first round, they'll have an opportunity to qualify for the semifinals in these repassage rounds. And they're doing it from 200 all the way up to the 1500 meters, including hurdles. And so my take is that someone is going to miss not qualifying the heats, running these repassage rounds, and then go on to win a gold medal at the Olympic Games.
I would have given you a medal. You're going gold.
I'm going gold medal. And on
what
the
event
surface,
is most likely, you think?
Well, so on the surface, and I did a little history. I think, so first of all, look at like the Tokyo Olympic Games. You had a case where Sharika Jackson in the 200, she actually didn't qualify in the heats. She like did this kind of like slow down thing and she ended up just missing out on qualifying to the semifinals. So there is like an opportunity where something like that can happen. I doubt Sharika is going to like jog through and feel comfortable, but in the 200, but that essentially, if the repassage was in Tokyo, we would have seen Sharika potentially go on to win gold. You also had like Sifan Hassan. Now I know she won gold in the 15 or, not gold. I think she medaled in the 15 in Tokyo, but she got tripped up in like the heats and actually she fell to the ground. I think
she fell and then like got back up and still won the heat. Yeah.
And still won the heat. Right. So there's a world where she falls and like doesn't qualify. So all that kind of being said, I think it's likely to happen in the most likely event, I think, is 800 meters for the men, because that event is, in my opinion, so wide open where almost anyone could win a gold medal or win a medal. And I think someone is going to not qualify in the heats. They're not going to pace it right. Maybe in the 15 also, they just won't pace it right. And then they end up like feeling relaxed and they realize they don't qualify. And then they go on to win gold. So I think one of those events, either the 800 or the 1500. But again, there's been some examples in the past where if there were repassage rounds, someone could have won gold. Sharika Jackson, again, is like that notable thing. But yeah, I think it's going to happen. Someone is going to have to run the repassage rounds, but then they're eventually going to qualify and win a gold medal in some event.
Wow. Okay. Gold. Now this would be counterpoint, like to knock off two predictions. Jakob is the one to do it where it's like, he gets bounced in the first round, wins the repechage, comes back, wins gold, proves you right and me wrong.
And you wrong.
I look forward to just sort of like the final leg deep dive on this because I think like you came with the numbers and the stats like Sharika, it just totally skipped my mind about Sharika Jackson's like Tokyo 2021, like what exactly happened there. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's exactly what it was. And she's the best example.
Yeah, exactly. She is like, she's one of those examples where it's like, they're like the best in their event right now, but they just don't have that Olympic gold medal. And it's literally because of this. She just kind of relaxed in the heats in Tokyo. So yeah, but I really do like the 800. The 800 on the men's side specifically is so wide open.
To its own fault, I think. We're like,
yeah, like it's just out there and someone could be in the heats, just not pace it right, end up not qualifying, but then they just turn up after the repassage rounds. Now, a caveat is that I don't know the exact schedule of when these are run. I think it's like the day after, but they're going to have to run an extra round. Yeah. So they're going to be a little bit tired, but I don't know. I think someone is going to pop off and really, really get a gold medal. So I don't know. We'll see how that pans out.
The presenting sponsor of the Sidious Mac podcast is Olipop. You know we've been pounding Olipop for over a year now. 2023 was a track season to remember, and Sidious Mag was able to be there for all of the big moments thanks to the incredible support of Olipop. What has become known as the runner's soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows, or if you're just watching at home and want to crack a can of Olipop open yourself. It's good for you too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, that only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout never could. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for the next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime. Caitlin Tui's number one flavor is ginger lemon. There are other great flavors like vintage cola, tropical punch, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla, and I'm hearing rumors of another one coming soon. Sidious Mag podcast listeners get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code SIDIOUS25 at checkout at drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and most recently, they just got added to Costco, so pro tip there. Next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. drinkolipop.com, code SIDIOUS25. Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching two new styles to the recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's three-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and forefoot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code SidiousMag20 at checkout at velusfootwear.com.
What do you got up next?
Up next, I've got not all that crazy. Femke Bol beats Sydney McLaughlin in the 400 hurdles at the Olympics.
At the Olympics.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because I don't think they'll face off beforehand, right? Like,
yeah.
I'll double this up with another one that I wrote down, because these are kind of duels.
Yeah.
Femke Bol beats Sydney McLaughlin in the 400 meter hurdles at the Olympics. I didn't have that at the Olympics written down beforehand, but I'll add it now just to make it a little bit more bold. As an American, yeah, I root for Sydney.
Yeah.
But as a fan of track and field, I root for Femke, because just she does so much to further the event. And we are seeing this progress evolve before us, where these indoor 400 meter world records and performances, you know, are great progress, I think, that give us sort of like the, you know, the measuring, you know, what do they call it? Like in football, like the first down line just keeps moving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sort of you see the progress where Femke's getting there. She's in the red zone, I think, right now when it comes to beating Sydney. And we just don't know what Sydney's been up to. And so I expect it to happen. I'm not like, the whole thing is like, just don't be shocked if it happens. And so that's where I'm at with that. And then the other matchup I have is, let's see, Letsila Tobogo beats Noah Lyles at least once this season. Not necessarily at the Olympics here. Mm-hmm. If they face off at a Diamond League before that, I think it'd be great. Like, it sets up an amazing storyline. You know how, like, last year, both Marcel Jacobs, who like came out with an article, I think in the Guardian this past week, that they wrote about just how heavy it was on him, just like the online criticism, and like, granted, like Sidious Mag fed into it about just like ducking Fred Curley and just like not racing a whole lot. And anytime there was this opportunity where we were going to be seeing, you know, Fred versus Marcel, like it just would not happen. And more than half the time it was Marcel's fault. That I'm sort of thinking, like, if you're Noah Lyles and he listens to the show, which I love, don't duck Letsila Tobogo this season on the Diamond League series in the lead up to it. Because the worst case scenario is you lose to him once, and okay, great. I think it sets up more interest in your event come the Olympics, where right now it feels like it's a foregone conclusion that like Noah Lyles is the heavy favorite in the 200. You know, in 2022, Arian kind of helped, you know, draw some interest to that event by running so fast early on in the season. But they didn't go head-to-head until the U.S. Championships, and then Noah beat him there. And then Noah, you know, sealed the deal at the World Championships. I want Letsila Tobogo versus Noah Lyles to take place during the regular season at a Diamond League. If Letsila Tobogo beats him, which is very likely given that we are seeing how well he's running over 400 to 300, that, you know, it makes for more drama come Paris. And so I hope Noah is not ducking Tobogo. Tobogo certainly is the one who would welcome a challenge against Noah Lyles. I think if you're Noah, you may sit at a position where you're the champion and you start to think like, all right, maybe I'm not going to show my cards to him, and we're not going to see that same race that we saw at the Diamond League in London last year before Budapest. Noah, race Tobogo. It's okay if you lose in the lead up to Paris. It sets up more drama for the event. And then Femke versus Sydney, I want Femke to win just because, you know, I think she's been working so hard publicly towards it. So what do you think?
So first on the Femke point, I honestly, in my opinion, I think it's kind of crazy. It's not that it's crazy, but like at the Olympic Games, it's going to be insanely tough. Obviously, like you said, we don't know how, you know, what kind of form Sydney is in. I'm assuming she's going to be in good form, you know, going to the Olympics. But Sydney McLaughlin, the Roni, has run 50.68 seconds. Femke is definitely improving. She's run 51.4, I think. But like, it's almost a full second to get to where Sydney is at. Now, if Sydney falters a little bit, if she hits a hurdle or if she's not in form, then Femke definitely, you know, has the potential to be her. I think that Femke, in my opinion, I thought she would do it last year. I think she probably will do it this year. I will run sub 51 seconds in the hurdles. But beating Sydney McLaughlin of Rhodey at the Olympic Games is going to be such a tall task.
I don't think the Olympics needs to be a world record race.
Well, it doesn't. But I mean, if we're looking at the last Olympic Games, like, you know, we had Warholm running 45. We had Sydney and DeLillo running super fast. And like Sydney had to sit out. She couldn't compete in Budapest. And she's watching Femke Bol's progress. I'm assuming she's watching and is like, no, I can't let Femke take over, you know, my top spot. So,
I mean, yeah, opinion, right. Like all of this can be null if Sydney's just like, I'm just going to do the 400. Right.
Yeah, like, I mean, look at, like, I think, I don't know if it was 2022 or one of the years, but she opened up and she ran, like, almost broke the world record in the 400-meter hurdles. Like, she could just drop a bomb and be like, you know, forget it. And, yeah, who knows? She could run the 400. But I think that is a good, bold prediction, I would say. Femke Bol. But then on the 200, I actually think it's not too crazy, but it actually is pretty crazy. So Noah Lyles in the 200 hasn't lost a 200-meter race since, I think, 2019, when Michael Norman beat him at a Diamond League.
Olympics.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The Olympic Games. Yes. Olympics in 2020. Yes. So in like his career, at least as a professional, I think he's lost two races in the past couple of years, that Olympic Games and then the Diamond League back in Rome a couple years ago. And I think he also, similar to Sydney looking at Femke, he knows that Toboga is right behind him. He, at the London Diamond League last year, Toboga was right on his heels. He's seen Toboga break world records, and Noah does not want to lose. He does not want to lose. So I think it's a pretty bold prediction, and it'll be crazy.
Because you think Noah's going to lean into just sort of like, I'm the star. I don't need to race him until the Olympics. I don't want to race him until the Olympics.
Maybe. One thing to think about
But Noah thinks so much about like being like advancing the sport and like all that stuff that I'm like, it would totally go against all of that to just be like, you know what? I'm not going to race. I'm going to duck him until Paris. I want the announcement that they're both going to face off in like, I don't know, pre or something like that.
Yeah. It'd be good. But and one thing to think about is Noah is going, of course, for the triple, but then also the 4x4, you know, as well. I don't know, like, is he going to run a 400? Is he going
to? Oh, okay. So you're saying my prediction, let's see, Toboga beats Noah Lyles at least once, happens in a 400. I wanted it to be in a 200. So that's where I'm going to add a little specific part.
In the two. I mean, yeah, in the two would be crazy. But like, even so, what if Noah is like lining up for all these Diamond Leagues, but he's only running the 100 and maybe he runs like a one-off 200, but and kind of does the ducking. I don't think Noah's going to do the ducking, but I think he definitely might want to, you know, hold his cards close, go to USA Olympic trials, you know, go to Olympics. But I feel like those are some good bold takes. I think those are some good bold takes. The Sydney one, I think, is a little bolder. Femke beating Sydney at the Olympics, in my opinion, that is like wild, but we'll see. We'll see.
So Noah saw me at the New Balance or at the NCAA championships. Yeah. And he said something to me like, he's like, cause I guess I wasn't at World Indoors and I wasn't at USA Indoors. He's like, it's like, you're not at these meets anymore. And I was like, no, I was like, I'm saving myself for like a very busy summer. He's like, you're skimping the sprints right now. And I was like, all right, so I'm coming out right now and just throwing it back at Noah a little bit. Don't duck Toboga. I want to see a regular season 200 meet. I want it to be close. And if Toboga beats him, it's okay. I just want that to be clear. And it just is thinking bigger picture toward, you know, Paris.
Yeah.
And if you want to sub in Arian for Noah before the trials at a Diamond League and Arian beats him there, then that's great. Like, I just want somebody to beat Noah in a 200 before that, to add a little bit more drama to it, I think. So we'll let that one simmer, and I hope he's listening.
All right. So so I got two more, but I'm gonna give a little love to our field eventers, and I'm gonna go over to the long jump. And so the long jump on the men's side has notoriously been in a quote unquote down, you know, state where you haven't seen some far jumps. We've seen some guys here and there, but so my bold prediction is that at least one person is going to jump farther than 8.8 meters in the men's long jump this year. And so for some context on that, only four people in history have ever jumped 8.8 meters in the long jump. You have Mike Powell, who has a world record, Bob Beamon, previous, you know, former world record holder, Carl Lewis, of course, who's like the GOAT of the long jump. And then you have Robbery Emian. I apologize for mispronouncing his name, but he competed for the Soviet Union back in like the 70s and 80s. But we've seen guys jump 8.5 meters, 8.4. I think World Indoors was one in like 8.2 or something like that. But there's a couple guys right now who are like on the cusp of like doing something big. We have Tajay Gale from Jamaica. He's jumped 8.69 meters. Juan Miguel Echevarria for Cuba. I think he's transferring his allegiance right now, but he's jumped 8.65, and he actually has a windy jump of 8.9 meters, which he had from a couple years ago. Miltiades Tentaglu, of course, the Olympic champion, he's jumped 8.6 meters. So a couple other Jamaicans, there's some guys who are in the mix, but no one has been able to even jump like 8.7 meters, let alone 8.8 meters. But I think that someone is finally going to do it this year. And explicitly because I think all these jumpers are just mad at World Athletics for this like rule change. And they're just going to be like, listen,
I like it.
Let's just show you that this works, what we have right now, and just go out and bomb it. Jump 8.8 meters, maybe jump something crazier. But yeah, so bold take, I think someone this year is going to jump at least 8.80 meters in the men's long jump. We'll see if it happens, but we have some guys.
I don't know. I'm going to call that the grudge jump. It's just sort of like these guys are angry, and Tentaglu, I think, is the guy to do it.
Yeah, like if you haven't, check out the interview with David him at World Indoors. He just like ripped World Athletics. He was so mad at the rule change. So, yeah.
For my quick field events one, I'm sticking with my guy Joe Kovacs. Everyone knows we're buds. I'm gonna go with him winning gold this year. I think this is it. Joe is always just kind of. I'll have to check in with him again soon. Where it just sort of like, it always feels like it's the last year. He's kind of just always riding the fence of like, how long do I want to keep doing this for? I mean, dude, if you keep winning medals, just keep at it for the longest time. He's a Diamond League champion.
Like he's a guy. So, he's thrown like 23 meters. He's thrown close to Krauser recently. So yeah.
I think like it's coming. We've seen just sort of like these one-off bombs here and there. And I'm sticking with my guy, Joe. Throughout the Olympic year. So
I'm with it.
I'll throw that one out there. And then the other one that I guess I've been mentioning in passing on previous podcasts before is just like, because of that Paris Olympic marathon course and how crazy that hill is, that, you know, Kipchoge, we saw how Boston wrecked him and he's kind of a little scared that he's not going to win gold. I think this is Cam Levins' year. Cam Levins of Canada is going to win gold in the marathon at the Paris Olympics. Like I just saw that he posted like I guess his ring light or his ring camera from his front door footage of him coming home. And he's like all beat up and like just kind of like so tired from training. And I'm like, give me that. Give me more of that content because I know you're working so hard. It's March. We've got all our sights set till August for the Olympics. I think Cam Levins winning gold in the marathon at the Olympics is going to be a beautiful moment. So those are some of the tiny ones that I threw out there. I do have like one. I think you told me you had an industry one. I have one too. And that these Chinese companies, Kyodan and Anta, are really going to rev up their investment in I think like they haven't even infiltrated America yet, you know, when it comes to like the super shoes market. Anta signed Kenenisa Bekele. Kyodan was nearly in agreement with like this contract with Kelvin Kiptum. I think it was after Valencia or before London, sometime in that early 2023 period where he was rumored to be signing with this Chinese shoe company. And eventually, I think he just stayed with Nike. And so I've also heard this buzz coming out of like Ethiopia that some of the athletes prefer those shoes over like the Nike Adidas super shoes. So I think we're on the precipice of a moment where these Chinese shoe companies are going to come to the US market and make a big splash. It's already kind of happening in East Africa. Some of these times that I think we saw in Valencia and in Seville, if you look closely, you know, yes, at the very front of it, you have a couple like Adidas athletes, but some of these other countries, like you have to look at the depths of these Instagram shoe accounts. And there are runners who are hitting Olympic qualifying marks in, you know, these Chinese shoe companies. So I think they're coming.
I like it. I like it. And I think like, it goes to, I'll get to like my other bold prediction later, but I like that you've really been seeing so many different shoe companies really dive in and start to like make an imprint across the board. And there is like an opportunity. I think people are clamoring for, you know, these different shoe brands. Now I will say that I think so many people are just not familiar with like some of these Chinese shoe brands that it's like, I don't know, like, am I going to put on these shoes and are they going to like work? Or are they going to fall apart? Not like any disrespect, but like, I don't know, like who knows what's going to happen with them, right? They don't have like much insight. But yeah, I think as like they continue to penetrate the running market, like some athletes might, I mean, I'm thinking back in the day, there was like, I think it was Li Ning or something like that. Yeah. So like a whole bunch of sprinters, you know, sponsored by them and jumpers and stuff like that. So I guess it's not too surprising, but it is pretty.
Right. Like to really hit the American market though, like, yeah, you need to sign like one or two really top American marathoners. And all of those are tied up in like the big, you know, major shoe companies here. But I'm just thinking just sort of like, you might start to see some like really good performances, like sign a 210, 211 guy. And then maybe if they run under that in your shoes, that's enough of a statement. And I think like, then you go to the major US markets, and I think it's not necessarily going to be a thing where it's like, oh, all of a sudden, like these Chinese shoe companies are selling more than even like Under Armour when it comes to like running shoes.
Yeah.
It's going to be more just sort of like the high performance side of things.
Yeah.
And even like the big shoe geeks, like maybe you will start to see, instead of a starting line of a race, just a ton of Alpha Flies and, you know, the Adidas ones and the Super Comp SC, the SC Elite V4s, like,
yeah,
you'll start to see a couple more of these Chinese shoe companies that'll be like, what are those? And like curiosity will get out there for, you know, the major, for the higher end, you know, US road runners.
Yeah. And like these, you know, an athlete gets signed to, you know, with one of these shoe companies and they become that person, right?
Yeah.
Like there's not, it's not like a Nike or even like a Puma or something where they have so many athletes and you get drowned out. It's like Fred Curley signed with ASICS and he's one of a few, and he's like the ASICS guy right now. So I wouldn't be too surprised. That does make sense. That does make sense.
Yeah. Mm. All right. What do you have industry wise?
All right. So industry wise, very on a similar vein, but we've seen Nike dominate the shoe world forever, literally, right? And at the last Olympics, they won like by far the majority of medals. But I'm saying that at this Paris Olympic Games this summer, Nike is not going to win the majority of medals. We're going to see a whole bunch of other shoe companies take over from Nike and win the majority. Now, Nike will still probably win the plurality of medals. So like in theory, if there's 100 medals, Nike may win 40, and then the other 60 will be broken up by the other shoe companies. But I think Nike is going to be dethroned now. They dominate year after year after year. There's so many athletes sponsored, but I think this will be the first time that Nike does not win most of the medals in terms of athletes who are sponsored by them.
I like this take, Anderson. And it's interesting because, and you didn't know I did this. I do have a Google Doc or Excel sheet with the World Indoor Championships medal table by brand. Yeah. I did a little bit because I was curious about it too. And from the looks of it, Nike and Puma had the same amount of gold medals, 6 each. Nike topped the medal table because they had 22 medals overall, 6 gold, 8 silver, 8 bronze. But Puma was not that far behind them with 6 gold, 6 silver, 6 bronze for 18 total. Adidas right behind them, 5 gold, 5 silver, 6 bronze, 16 total medals. New Balance had the next most, or yeah, New Balance had the next most, 3. There were 4 unsponsored athletes who had medals. So I think you're onto something here. And those were, you know, the 4 major players at the World Indoor Championships. And I guess like the numbers, which what I was picking up on, get skewed sometimes. And I think like the jumps ends up being like where a lot of the medals end up coming. Adidas had a strong presence in the jumps. Puma has picked up some people in the field events and in the jumps. Field events as a whole, I mean, there's more events come outdoor season. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, while the gap right now is only, you know, 22, 18, 16, Nike just slightly ahead. I like this prediction by you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm even thinking of like, so like since that last Olympics, Puma has drastic. I mean, even from Rio, I think Rio 2016, Puma might've won like 4 or 5 medals. And then they jumped up to 16 in Tokyo. Puma has significantly increased their presence. But then also like, think of some of the athletes that have switched brands from the last Olympics. You had Elaine Thompson here. She was a double Olympic sprint champion. She moved from Nike to Puma. Fred Curley, silver medalist in the 100, moved from Nike to Asics. Marcel Jacobs, Olympic champion, he moved from Nike to Puma. So there's a couple people who are very much in the mix. And then you have other brands as well, between Josh Kerr with Brooks. You have a couple people maybe with Under Armour. Even Mizuno, I think they have like some walkers. On Running is like, you know, making some, has been making noise. So I think a lot of these kind of shoe brands, I feel like, I don't know if it's everyone fighting against Nike, but it's like, I think everyone is like really stepping up the game.
Okay. I like that one. So I think that does it for 5 each from each of us, right? Do you have any other ones?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I had some like small ones. I said like, I don't know if it was so bold. I said that, you know, somebody in the women's 400 is going to run 47 seconds. There's a couple women in that conversation, but, and interestingly enough, I don't have Sydney in that. I think Sydney is going to stick with the 400 meter hurdles, but I don't know. You have like Saui Nasser. She's like been on the comeback. She's run 48.1 before. Shawna Miller-Webo coming back from, you know, childbirth. Femke Bol, I think she might dip in and some Diamond League maybe. So there's a couple women. I think someone could run 47 seconds in the 400, and only 2 women in history have ever done it. So I think that could happen, but I wasn't confident enough to be able to put that down. And then I also had like, you know, the men's 1500 meter world record is going to go down, but I think that's probably more, it's, I don't know, like you said, probably Jakob will do it in a one-off or someone will get in a one-off, but yeah, I don't know. Those are kind of my singular ones.
Yeah. I mean, I had some other ones that I wrote down where it isn't like all that bold, where it's like a thing Mo, right? Like we haven't talked about her the whole episode. Yeah. Probably comes back, wins gold. I had, even after knee surgery, Anna Hall's going to win the heptathlon at the Paris Olympics, which I think maybe like the odds maybe kind of were hit a little bit by the knee surgery and setback. But, you know, Tiam's not competing at Gotsi's. Sulek is coming back from childbirth. So like everyone kind of is going to enter a little bit more even. And Anna Hall's already opening up in 2 weeks at Tom Jones. So it's like, it goes to show you just how incredible of an athlete she is. And yeah, so then to run down some of the other ones that I got, you know, in the Cities Mag group text this morning, because we're recording early in the morning, so not everyone woke up in time to see it. Kyle says Olin Hacker is going to make the U.S. 5K team, and Sam Whitmarsh is going to make the U.S. 800 meter team. I think the U.S. 800 meter team is wide open, so that's a good one. And Olin Hacker with NAZ Elite, they're onto something really good this year. Justin Britton said no medal for Fred Curley in Paris. I thought that one was bold. He'll make him. He'll even if no it's medal, in the 4x1.
I was going to say in the relay, like no medal is like bold. That's like crazy. But who knows?
He did add that the U.S. women's 800 meter team is going to be comprised of 2 collegians. I thought that one was bold because that puts like the likes of Ajay Wilson or Raven Rogers like out of the picture. If you only think that like a thing is a lock, then like 2 collegians like Michaela Rose and like a Roisin Willis or Juliet Whitaker. I don't know. Like that is fairly bold.
That's kind of, so, I don't know.
that one was a bit of a stretch. And let me see if there were any other ones. I mean, someone else said world record in Monaco. That was it for this morning. But we want to hear from our listeners. What are your bold predictions for the 2024 outdoor season. We'll put up an Instagram story soliciting responses from you guys. Maybe on the next episode, Anderson and I can go through and rank them and be like, that on a scale of 1 to 5, how bold of a take was that?
And we want like bold, like go, we want some out there takes.
Yeah, because we definitely didn't hit every single event in this conversation. Yeah. And so if there's one that we missed and really comes to mind, hit us with it. You can also just shoot us a DM and explain your reasoning. We'll read them on the next episode. So putting it out there for the listeners for the next episode. Yeah. Real quick, Anderson, we've got to recap a couple of these results from the past weekend and hit me with any of your thoughts. We kind of already mentioned Gabby Thomas opened up at Texas Relays. Very impressive. 10.88, just slightly wind dated, 2.2
just over
wind for the 100 meters, which would have been a PR had it not been for the wind. First time under 11 seconds if it was wind legal, which would have been, I think, a pretty good statement to open up the season. Sure. She said afterwards to Serenity Douglas, who was doing some interviews for us, that she thinks she can run with the heavy hitter 100 meter runners. And then Otto Bolden was in our comment section and on Instagram saying like the last person who said something like that ended up being the world champion last year. And so, you know, kind of led me to start to think about like Gabby Thomas doing the 1-2 double and similarly pulling off a Noah Lyles, but I'm going to pull back the reins on that one. Maybe give it an extra year. 2025 could be the year for something like that. But then 45 minutes later, Gabby Thomas came back and ran 22.08 for 200 meters. Faster, same wind reading, 1.2 wind, same faster than last year at the same meet. And then we all know that she went on to run, what was it,
21.6
at the U.S. Championship. So what did you make of Gabby Thomas?
Yeah, I think this is a really, really big statement by Gabby. And I was going to put a bold prediction. It's, I don't know how bold, but like that Gabby was going to win gold at the Olympic Games. But I was like, I can't. Shriek is like insane. But I think this is huge, where I think this is her fastest in terms of 200, her fastest win legal opener ever, or it might be second fastest.
I think it
like
is.
That.
Yeah.
But yeah. So this is a huge, huge statement. And the fact that 10.88 in 100, only barely over the allowable, like she's essentially in, you know, sub 11 form, obviously, you know, give it the legal time. So, or legal wind, but I think this really is going to set her up well to seriously challenge Shrika. I've said that Gabby has the potential to be a 21.5, 21.4 runner. And I think in her 21.6, she actually had like a headwind. So I don't know. I think this makes a statement for the field that like she's going for a gold in that 200. I don't know if she could double. I mean, we saw like Allison Felix did the double in 2012 and she finished like fifth in the 100 and then won the 200. But I don't know. This is a big statement for the 200 though, for sure.
All right. Then we've got at the Florida Relays, Quincy Wilson. He's 16-year-old from Bullis in Maryland, a sophomore in high school, ran 45.19 at 16 years old to get under the U.S. Olympic trials qualifying mark. When we chatted with him at New Balance Nationals, he kind of, you know, we threw it out there. It's like, you got to be thinking Olympic trials. And, you know, he lit up. He said, yeah, he'd love to run at the Olympic trials. Now that's a certainty. But it's not all that crazy to think that this 16-year-old could end up not, I don't think, making the 400 individual team. But the crazy, he could end up in the relay pool. First, he needs to reach the final at the U.S. trials. But if you look at kind of just like how many races he runs in a weekend, like the high school system sets you up perfectly to run rounds.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, for some reason, I don't feel like he's a sophomore. I don't realize that he's 16. I feel like he's been dominating for so long, but the fact that he is so young and still running this fast is absolutely insane.
He took a week and a half off after New Balance.
New Balance.
And opened up with this.
That's crazy. That is wild. Now, I think I agree. I think like the individual team in the 400 might be a little reach, but definitely the relay is very much possible. I think, last year, Matthew Bowling, he made the relay squad in both, of course, the mix and the 4x4, and he ran 45.17 at USA's. So I think Quincy is definitely in that realm. He's very likely going to run 44 seconds later on this summer, or, you know, later on in the spring. But It's not too far-fetched. We could see a Sydney McLaughlin situation where she made it at 16, right? So who knows?
Yeah, I think Paul Hoffmahoney, who was in at the Florida Relays for us doing some interviews, he is writing a recap for our website. He noted that even after the pro sections of the Florida Relays, Quincy's time held up as like the fastest. And that included a field that had Dos Santos, Kenny Bednarik running a 400, and Quincy still ran faster than both of them. I did throw out a text to Kyle this weekend where I was just like, after Quincy's race, I went and looked at where he moved up in the US, or no, the all-time U18 list. He is, I think, fourth or fifth right now, moved ahead of the likes of Kerani James and
Ooh.
Usain Bolt.
Ooh.
And so when Usain Bolt ran his PR for, or at the time as a U18 athlete, he was 16 years old in like 7 months, and Quincy has now run faster and is younger. And we all know what happened to Usain Bolt. He went on to break the 100, 200 meter world record. So while we're on the topic of bold predictions, Quincy Wilson, 100, 200 meter world record holder at the 2028 Olympics, heard it here first.
Hey.
Best relay performances of the weekend were Grant Holloway and Gainesville Elite ran 37:67 at the Florida Relays, world leading time. Unfortunately, I think like on the anchor leg, it was Joe Fonbolle, and we didn't get to see like Noah Lyles try and run him down because of like the exchange wasn't all
Yeah.
that great. But the guys afterwards celebrated, and they talked about how I queued up Paul to ask him, and I was like, what do you guys think of like, kind of what everyone's talking about when it comes to selecting the relay teams? And they clearly said it's like, we're going to leave politics out of it, let our statements speak for ourselves. But in your kind of thought, I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Arian Knighton was the most impressive of that relay that deserves, I think, a spot on like the US 4x1 team, if they so choose.
Yeah, Arian, definitely at least from that squad, Arian is the guy too. I mean, Grant Holloway, listen, Grant Holloway has been like a relay mainstay back at his days in Florida. But yeah, if we're talking about, for the actual Olympic relay in Paris, Arian Knighton, I think he definitely needs some consideration. And he actually he ran like the 4x4 and the 4x1 this weekend. So he was dropping some good things. But yeah,
Do you
and
think like with Grant in particular, like when you brought up like being a relay mainstay, like what is the best way to kind of give him a relay medal that like, I don't know if he's the right guy to for a final, right? But it's sort of like, the old quarterback who or backup catcher on a baseball team or football team who like makes it like just put in his time. And you
yeah.
want him to get a Super Bowl trophy or a World Series ring. And so he's on the roster and will get a medal. So is that, do
Yeah.
you think, running Grant in the first round of the 4x4 at the Olympics and then just being like, all right, you're part of it, you're gonna get a medal when we win it in the final? Like, I think that's the solve here.
Yeah, put him on the 4x4 or the, I mean, I'm not opposed to either or, the 4x4 or the 4x1. I think Grant at least should be in the prelims of one of the others. I mean, we just saw Noah run, actually he ran the final at the World Indoors. We have some spots, we have some room, right? And I think this goes to Grant's case and Arian's case where it's like, we're running relays already. We're proving like, for a potential spot on the relay. Yeah, throw at least Grant on the prelims. Arian could, jump up a spot to get into the final. I think I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Arian on the final in the 4x1, but yeah, I don't know. I want to be an advocate for more people from these different events getting onto relays, right? Either in the prelims or in the finals, right? Put Grant Holloway. We see Rye Benjamin in the 400 hurdles, on the 4x4. But yeah, I don't
But
know.
at the same
Let's.
time, like it does annoy kind of the specialists, right? Like, think
Yeah,
about the
but
women's four by
like.
four in Tokyo, right? Where it was like a thing, and Sydney didn't run the open four, and so you take out two people who specialize in the event and put
Yeah,
the
and
stars
DeLillo
in.
ran too.
Yeah, and Dalila, it's sort of like, I don't know, like this is again where it kind of gets into the whole politics and like,
Yeah.
really kind of using leaning into the star power for TV or whatever reasons there may be. We have, I guess the problem is we just have all these riches of sprint talent,
I
and
mean, like,
that's
yeah.
a good problem for us to have.
Exactly. Like, listen, at the end of the day, we want to see some good relays, not only fast times, we also want to see some good storylines, right? Like Grant Holloway, put him on the 4x1, put him on the 4x4. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, then we had Dina Asher-Smith, Rashida Adeleke, Lene Thomas, Julian Alfred run the fastest 4x2 ever outdoors, 127.05 at the Texas Relays. Most impressive part about this, Julian Alfred clocked at 20.8 for the anchor leg, fastest ever, tied with Marion Jones at the Penn Relays. I mean,
that's insane. Yeah. Dude, I saw that and I'm like, that can't be right, right? Like, we just saw someone run 20.8. Like, that is insane. I mean, as a whole, that just proves, obviously, Julian Alfred coming off, you know, world indoor gold in the 60. But then Dina Asher-Smith in form, you know, all of them are really in form. I think, of course, world record or world best, you know, whatever you want to call in the 4x2, but Julian Alfred should be in the conversation as like a serious medal threat in the 100 and 200. Like, obviously, we'll see how the season pans out. We'll definitely discuss it a lot more. But Julian Alfred is a huge threat. She is no joke.
Yeah, and Julian Alfred told Serenity afterwards that she hates the 200. So that reminds me of someone else. Usain Bolt used to say, oh, listen, no, Usain Bolt loved the 200, I think.
He loved it too. He hated the 400. Yeah. But, I mean,
hey, sometimes what you hate is what you're good at.
Yeah. So that was a good race, but yeah.
Last thing, Letsile Tsibogo went 1994 at altitude in South Africa for his first 200 of the year. Currently holds, I guess, like the fastest time in what, the 200, the 300, the 400.
Yeah, all three in the world. All he has to do is run 100 at like 9 point something this weekend and he'll have everything. But yeah, I think this kind of going back to our point of, you know, Noah Lyles, Tsibogo potentially taking him down. I think he's consistently just making statements like, I'm showing that I am one of the best right now, right? I can compete with the best. I got a medal last year in both the 100 and the 200. 19.94 early on is very, very fast. And no one else has done it. We haven't seen Noah. We haven't seen Arian, Kenny B. No one's opened up in the 200 yet. Tsibogo is technically the guy to beat right now. So I don't know.
All right, that does it for this week in track and field. Again, this is a little bit of a slower week. Things, I think, really start to ramp up in the next 2 weeks or so. But we want to hear your bold predictions for 2024. We're going to put up an Instagram story asking for your guys' responses and submit them. We'll rank them on our next episode, and we'll recap all of the latest happenings from the next couple days.
I want these bold predictions from everyone.
I've been Chris Chavez with Anderson Emerald. We'll see you guys next week.